Catholicism has perhaps the most thoroughly developed understanding of the Christian message, but while Catholic doctrine is thorough, it's not simple, and I can see where having the mind of a lawyer might be an advantage in trying to capsulize it and convey it clearly to other people. Fred Vilbig has the mind of a lawyer. In fact, he practices law in St. Louis, and he's written a concise summary of Catholic teaching, a small book titled Leave No Soul Behind, a Catholic Handbook. Fred, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
What prompted a lawyer to undertake a project like this?
It's kind of an involved story. We have a men's group at our parish. We were going to do a pre-recorded talk on saints with a past. When we listened to it, it was not very exciting. And I told them, with 11 children, I read stories to them all the time, and I always tell stories. And so I said, I can do a better job than that. And so I set about trying to put together these lives of saints. Moses the Black is one of them. He was a thug who became a great monk in the desert. So I was going to do this talk, and I got connected up through that process, got connected up to St. Joseph Radio here in the St. Louis area. And next thing I know, I'm on the radio and I am giving talks at parishes. And one of those parish talks, the theme was the battle for souls. I really hadn't thought about it much, but the whole idea struck me as being a very, very relevant topic. I've got 11 children, like I said, and my wife and I, you know, we go to Mass every Sunday. I would take the kids to daily Mass. You know, we were very active in the church, and I was active with Catholic Radio here in St. Louis. One or two of my kids are practicing their faith. And so it breaks our hearts, my wife and I, that we didn't have better success. So this battle for souls idea just kind of developed. I prayed about it and thought about it. And one day I was driving by a Baptist church and the idea popped in my head, write a book.
Well, you've created a kind of a little miniature catechism here. You go over the basic principles of the faith. You examine the moral dimension of various questions of life. I would assume that the book reflects your thoughts about what people need to believe, how they might be reached. What do you think is the solution to this problem of reaching people?
I grew up Catholic. I was born and raised in Dallas, surrounded by Southern Baptists telling me I was going to go to hell because I was a Catholic. My best friend was Jimmy Feldman, the only Jew in class. We were friends because we figured if we were going to be in hell, we needed to have friends. But I was always defending the Catholic Church as I was growing up. When I moved to St. Louis, there were churches everywhere, very Catholic city, and I thought, oh, all these people, they know about their faith. And I've been really surprised to see, and these are people who went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and they really didn't understand their faith. And there's, like I said, we have a men's group that meets every Saturday, and then we have a Bible study on Tuesday mornings. And I've been surprised at how little they really knew about their faith. And so the idea behind the book was to sort of explain the faith so that people would be interested in it and understand the foundation, but also go into, you know, what do we do? I'm an attorney. My undergraduate degree is in neo-Thomistic philosophy. So, you know, I can argue with the best of them. But my kids and others just turn away. It's like you're talking to a rock. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to argue my way into their hearts. And I realized that that's the Holy Spirit's province. And so I thought, well, what you need to do is engage the Holy Spirit. And the way you do that is through prayer and then living your faith, which is holiness. And I understand holiness as being self-sacrificing love, as shown by Jesus on the cross. And then the third part is sacrifice. Jesus, Bill, I understand you were in public relations, and Jesus really was not a good PR guy because he said, come follow me, and he went to the cross. I don't know what he was thinking there, but it's essential that we follow Jesus to the cross. So what we need to do is we need to offer our sacrifices on a daily basis, the big things, the little things, everything, to Jesus in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass in order to empower your prayer, because then you join Jesus in that prayer for the conversion of your family, your community, and eventually, hopefully, the world. I realize that's a big goal, but isn't that what Jesus is all about, saving the world?
How do you put a positive spin on that? How do you make people really see the power in that? Because on the surface, Catholicism can look kind of mechanical. It can look even kind of artificial. And that's a real stumbling block for a lot of people.
I tell stories following Jesus' example of using parables. I take the stories of the saints, the lives of the saints, who, if you take the time to learn about them, were really incredible characters. Some of them, St. John of God is one of them. He was this impulsive guy that would run off and do stuff and almost got burned up in a building. He did, in fact, catch pneumonia from jumping into a river to get driftwood to use to heat the hospice that he had for the poor. Just a very impetuous person. You know, you've got Brother Andre Bessette out of Canada, who was just this simple guy who I can relate to him a lot because he was unable to do any trade. And my wife feels that any mechanical tool in my hand is a dangerous weapon. And so Brother Andre is one of my favorites. Just some phenomenal stories. I mentioned earlier Moses the Black, who literally was let go by his employer because there were rumors that he had killed somebody. And so his employer, his master, he was a slave, his master, rather than keeping this big hulking guy around who was a potential murderer, set him free, and he became a highwayman. And when he was hiding from people pursuing him, he accidentally wandered into a community of monks in the desert in Egypt, and the monks were scared to death. They thought, oh, this is the end. Anyway, he became intrigued by their lives and joined them and became a great, he's Abba Moses is the way that they refer to him now. So I use stories of, and the lives of the saints, use their stories. And I think it's an exciting adventure that we're called to. It's not just a set of rules. It's a wonderland. It really is.
Now, you self-published this book. I believe you made some attempts at finding a publisher and kind of came up dry on that, so you went ahead and developed it independently.
Yes. I wrote this book. I had a manuscript. And I didn't like it necessarily. And Bill, you've written a book, so I'm sure that you know what this process is like. Someone at 6 o'clock Mass at our parish, she had a daughter who had just moved back to St. Louis from New York because she was needed a liver transplant. And she asked me if I would do her estate planning, which is what I do. And so I met with Katie and, you know, we did the estate plan. And I said, so Katie, what did you do in New York? And she said, oh, I was an editor. I said, an editor? Really? Who'd you work for? And she said, I worked for Random House. And I went, Random House? You mean the Random House? And she said, yes. And I said, well, did you ever edit anything that I would have seen? And she said, no, I mainly do nonfiction stuff. But there was that book that won the Pulitzer Prize. I went, wait, the Pulitzer Prize? And she said, yes. Katie, I have a manuscript. You don't pass up an opportunity like that. So I asked her if she'd be willing to look at it, and she said, well, I'm not doing anything else. She was waiting for a liver, and she said, I'd be happy to. So she called me in a week, got back to me and said, I love this book. We've got to publish it. And I said, well, that would be great. Little backstory here, Katie's a fallen away Catholic, and she was fascinated by the book and loved it. So we got it into final form, and she was so intrigued with it, she said, let me send this out to get a publisher's attention, because if it comes from you, nobody knows you. I know some people in the industry. Let me send this out. So we sent it out to about 25 publishers. She sent it out to about 25 publishers, and we didn't get a nibble. And what we have discovered is that now, if you don't have a social media following, if you don't have a podcast, the publishers really don't want to talk to you because you're an unknown entity and it's a big risk for them. And so Katie and I put our heads together and I decided that I was just going to self-publish and had to figure out, well, what's the best way to do that? And after talking to a lot of people, figured out how I was going to do it and move forward. And I've got somebody here in St. Louis who is a graphic artist who is able to put these books together so that we can get them printed. There's a whole process, and that's way beyond my pay grade. But just through connections and things, I was able to put it together, and we self-published and got it on Amazon and Kobo. I don't remember all the ones that it's on. There are a number of places where you can get it.
Now, you give talks, I understand, as well.
Yes. I get asked to give talks to parishes. I'm going to be giving a talk in a month to a parish here in town. When I give talks, it seems like the theme that resonates the most with people is their children who have fallen away from the church. I have more people after my talks come up and share stories about, you know, their children leaving the church, and some of them are in tears. Many of them are almost in tears. It just breaks their hearts because they love the church so much, and they don't understand why their children are leaving or not coming back. And so I give talks at parishes. I have done talks on the radio, and I'm a member of the Catholic Bar Association, which is sort of a young group of various Catholic lawyer organizations throughout the U.S., and they're talking about doing a video that will be broadcast to all of the affiliates across the United States, and I'm supposed to be the inaugural speaker on that. So, yes, I do give talks at parishes and various other places.
Well, how do people find out about this book? How can they purchase it? How can they be in touch with you?
By doing interviews like this, Bill. That's one of the challenges. If anybody is interested in self-publishing, somebody told me I should write a book on this because it is a challenge. You can write the great American novel, but if nobody knows it's out there, nobody's going to buy it. And so the big problem is trying to let people know that you have a wonderful book, what it's about, and try to get people interested. So a deacon in a neighboring parish that knows me walked up and said, "We need to do radio programs." I said, "George, why am I going to do a radio program?" He said, "We need to do it. I've been praying about it, and this thought keeps coming back to mind." I said, "George, I'm not going to do a radio program. The people I'm working with are telling me I should do a podcast, so we can do a podcast." So George and I are working on putting together a podcast, trying to get the set, and this would be a video as well. And we're trying to get the equipment and the set and figure out what we're doing, which is beyond both of our pay grades. And we're working to try to do this. He wants to do an upbeat Catholic podcast, and we'll talk about Leave No Soul Behind. I also have another book that is I've written. It's in manuscript form now, The Pursuit of True Happiness, and the subtitle is The Four Last Things. I've got an outline for a book on In His Image and Likeness. We tend to treat people as objects, you know, whether it's abortion, it's employment, euthanasia, or just interpersonal relationships. We treat people as things, and yet we should reverence the image and likeness of God in each and every person. I have an idea for a historical book, and then I have an idea for a fiction book. Whether or not I get around to all of those things is all up to God, and we'll see what happens.
Well, in the meantime, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who would like to keep up with your undertakings. Is there a website or any way that people can find out about when the podcast will be out or when any of these other books will come online?
Yes, we have put together, I'm working with a group out of San Antonio, and we've put together a website. It's called CatholicGathering.com. We have the books on there. We're going to be putting the podcast there. The idea behind the website is it's a gathering place where people can share ideas, sort of like a coffee shop. And so I'm also developing a line of coffee that we're going to be selling. I did that for St. Joseph Radio years ago, and just thought I would redo that. Now, not necessarily a moneymaker, just kind of a fun thing, and it'll have stories of saints attached to each of the various kinds of coffee.
CatholicGathering.com. And the book is Leave No Soul Behind, a Catholic Handbook by Fred Vilbig. Fred, thanks very much for being with us. God bless. Be with us next time when we explore other aspects of religious communication and look deeper into the great Christian heritage of free expression. Free Expression with Bill Castle is a production of Good Shepherd Catholic Radio and Company Publications, where good books, good music, and good radio are always good company. Dan Kuras provided technical assistance. Theme and incidental music are by Dan Adam. The program was produced and directed by Bill Castle. This is Good Shepherd Catholic Radio.